Well, hello and welcome to The Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy and I'm inviting you to join me each and every Wednesday so you could be prepared to win the battle for business. That's right. Now, I know you're out there hustling. You're closing deals. You're making money. You're turning prospects into profits. So I've got to make it worth your while. That's why I have on the kind of guests that you can listen, learn, and earn from. Today's guest, no exception, because it's yours truly. That's right. Now, today I'm talking to the sales professionals out there. Today's topic, objections. And if you're in the world of sales, you know all too well objections and the fact that you encounter them on a weekly basis in some way, shape, or form. Now, here's the funny thing. You're a sales professional. You know you're going to get objections. And as a sales performance coach who's spoken to thousands of sales professionals for over two decades, it still baffles me as to how many sales professionals, I'm not talking about the rookies, I'm talking about all sales professionals, even seasoned veterans, when they get met with an objection, it's amazing how many times they get caught like the deer in headlights, not knowing how to respond. And the funny thing is, objections come in maybe just a few different variations. I mean, it's the, I'll think about it. I'll call you next week, call you next month. This is too expensive. I have to show this to my wife. I have to show this to my boss. I don't like this color. I don't know if this is going to work for me. Those are basically the objections you're going to get. And of course, there's variations. Of course, somebody's going to throw you a curveball. But we know what they are. We've heard them multiple times. Hundreds of times, depending upon how long you've been in sales. But yet, so many salespeople still get caught up. They get tripped up. They are the deer in the selling headlights. And it doesn't have to be. Now, the topic of overcoming objections, there's been oodles of books and articles and blogs and podcasts done on the very subject. But the interesting thing, and the approach that I'm taking today and sharing with you, is that the overcoming objections is usually spoken about at the moment the objection is delivered from the prospect. And if that's when you're going to address when the prospect tells you, well, hey, let me think about it. I'll call you next week. I'll call you next month. This is too expensive. If you are going to counter the objection at that point, it could be too late. You could be too far gone. So this is what I want to share with you today. Objections can be identified and they can be put on the table and they can be understood a heck of a lot sooner in the sales process than when the prospect or the customer tells it to you for the first time. Well, what do I mean? You have the sales process and it's the first point of contact. Then you're in that phone call, that Zoom meeting, the face-to-face meeting. What you need to do to be able to win the battle over objections is to be better at qualifying right off the bat. That is the key word. It's the key mechanism that's going to help you. How do you qualify? So let's look at it this way. An objection is really just a mechanism. It's a tool that prospects use to put themselves in control of the selling process. Prospects use objections to get you scared, to get you off balance, to think you're losing the sale, so that they can then get you to give in, to lower price, to do free shipping, to give other free goodies away. Or maybe they're just using the objection because they don't want to tell you the truth. Maybe it's a bold-faced lie. Maybe they want your quote, your proposal, to keep their vendor honest. And also, let's not forget, prospects, they use objections because they also don't want to tell you no. They don't like confrontation. So again, very simply, an objection is a tool that the prospect and the customer use to keep themselves in control of the sales process. So again, we don't want to wait until we hear it for the first time because then it's too late. You're up against it. You're going to get your ass kicked. So what we need to do is to go back and start qualifying at the beginning of the sales call. Now, what I'm going to share with you is a very direct and simple procedure, technique, if you will. And it is one word, three letters. It's an acronym. The word is WHY. W-H-Y. And if you take your prospects and your customers through the technique I'm about to share with you, you will unearth these objections a lot earlier than anybody else will. And you'll be able to have a conversation and you'll be able to put them on the table and really see them for what they're worth. It's just a deflection. And then what you can then begin to do is have a real conversation as to what the real issues are. So let's look at it this way. The acronym is WHY, and it's a qualifying strategy. It's not complicated, okay, but you have to be comfortable asking these questions. So what does it stand for? Well, let's start with the W. The W in WHY is who is making the decision. The H in WHY is how are they making the decision? And the Y in why is this purchase, this decision important for them? How is it going to impact them? Now, what typical salespeople do is they're going to find out maybe who some of the decision makers are. And there's always more than one, you know that. They're going to find out some of the factors that they're using to make a decision. They're typically not going to find out why it's important for them. But it's in discovering the why for the prospect is where you will identify the objections before they've even uttered them. So think of now you're putting yourself in a position of control. Because let's not forget, like I said in the very beginning, an objection is just a tool and a mechanism that the prospect uses on you to keep themselves in control. Whether they want to get free shipping, a better price, they want to use your quote to keep their vendor honest, they don't want to tell you no, so on and so forth. They're just protecting themselves. They keep themselves in control. So we're going to use why. W-H-Y. So the first one is the who. And I'm just going to share some basic questions with you. And this is how I approach the who of the acronym here. I'll say to the prospect, you know, I found that when I'm sitting down and talking to people in your situation, that they typically have other people helping them make a decision like this one. So who would that be for you? Now, it is an assumptive question because you have to assume that there is always another decision maker. And if they say, oh, no, Tim, it's just me. I'm making the decision. Oh, okay. Well, again, you know, it's just been my experience. A lot of times, you know, somebody's making a decision like this. It's an important decision. They'll have a partner. They'll have a spouse. They may have a sibling that they want to reach out to and kind of bounce things off with an important decision like this. And that's why I bring it up. It's very common. So again, is there somebody that, you know, who's somebody's opinion you trust that you're going to look to in making a decision like this? And you never want to accept their first answer. Because again, everybody's going to deflect. Oh no, it's just me. It's absolutely me. So you want to go at it. And you also want to just tell them, not just somebody else, but then give them an example. Well, it could be a spouse. It could be a business partner. It could be your boss, a sibling. Who might that be? And again, by asking like that, you have a much better chance of unearthing it. And then also, now let's fast forward. If they say, no, it's just me, then when you get that objective, I have to bring this to my boss and wife. You can call them on it. Hey, what happened? When I asked you who's helping make the decision, you said, no, it's just me. Now there's a wife. Now there's a boss. So by qualifying in the beginning of the sales process, you're preparing yourself for the inevitable objection. Okay, so it's why, and we go to the first one, the who is making the decision. And please, 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 I beg you, never let them tell you it's just them, because there's always somebody else. And even if they're dishonest about it and they say, oh, it's just me. And then at the end they say, well, I got to run this by my wife. I got to run this by my boss. You get to call them on it. You don't want to be confrontational, but you also don't want your time wasted, okay? And say, well, Bob, that's interesting, because I know when we were chatting earlier and I said, you know, who else is going to help you make this decision? You didn't mention your boss, but they're part of the process now. Oh, well, yeah, I like to run things by them. Oh, okay, so something's changed. But so then you get into the boss. So what is your boss looking for with this purchase? How are they going to decide, okay? So that's the who. There's always somebody else. Let's go to the H in how are they making the decision? And again, you can start off with a very basic question. Help me to understand, Mr. Prospect, how you're deciding if this purchase is right for you. What are the different factors you're using? And then shut up and listen. And yes, that great open-ended probing question, you shut up and you listen. And they'll tell you certain things like, well, it has to be reliability, you know, price is a factor, you know, we have to know that you'll stand by the product, you know, what kind of credibility do you have in the industry, what are the similar, you know, projects have you done for customers like us, so on and so forth. So let them tell you all the different factors that they're using to decide how they're going to make this purchasing decision. Now, here's an interesting one. I always ask, in my world, are you looking at any other sales performance coaches? Now, some salespeople, don't know why, they're afraid to ask that question. Well, they say, well, Tim, what if they're not? Are you giving them the idea that they should look at somebody else? And I, you know what? I'm very confident in what I do. I'm supremely confident in what I do. I want to know now if they're looking at somebody else because I don't want to find out after I presented my presentation, oh, yeah, by the way, we're meeting with two other sales performance coaches next week. Because then, you know what? It's too late, and now I'm up against it. And shame on me, I should have asked. So, you know, if somebody, and I've been asked this many times, well, no, Tim, we weren't looking at anybody else, but should we? I said, if you'd like to. Be authentic. Be honest. Don't be afraid of the question. Hey, if you want to look at somebody else, sure. Hey, listen, everybody has competition. So do you think you look at somebody else? No, maybe, I don't know. Okay. So right now it's just me. Okay. Listen, if you're looking at somebody else, you're thinking about it, let me know. Again, what we want to do is to put it all on the table. We're trying to eliminate being surprised by these objections. So don't be afraid to ask if they're looking at somebody else. What other vendors are they talking to? So the strategy is why. W, who's making the decision? It's always somebody more than them. How are they making the decision? What are the factors they're looking at to decide if this is right for them? And also ask if they're looking at anybody else. Always, always, always. And that leads us to the why in why. Why is this purchase important for you? What problem is it solving? What need is it fulfilling? Get them talking about why this decision is important for them, how it's going to impact them, their department, their customers, depending upon what your product and service is. Have them tell you why it's important for them. Because now you're getting all the different angles of the decision-making process, the who, the how, and the why. Here's another great question I like to ask, but you got to say this question for the end. That's why it's a part of it. It's why at the end, okay? Hey, Bob, let me ask you. Is upgrading your accounting software, is it something that you'd like to do or is it something that you must do? And shut up. And they say, well, you know, listen, this we absolutely have to do this. We've been delaying this long enough. It's an absolute must for us. Okay. Or they could also say, well, you know what? We've heard there's better options out there. We want to look into those better options. It's something we like to do. It's not an absolute must. You know, we could probably still use what we've got. Okay. No matter how they answer this question, whether they said, you know, Tim, this is a must, we have to, or it's a like to, then you have to have another follow-up. Okay. Well, why? Why is it a like? Why is it a must? So often in sales, and again, it blows my mind that so many sales professionals, especially the veterans, still get stumped and stymied, and they're caught like a deer in selling headlights by objections. And it's the same bag of tricks that prospects have been pushing out for years and years and years to keep themselves in control, to protect themselves about having to make a decision, to get a better price from you, free shipping, whatever. So there's no mystery here. It's not like tomorrow you're going to wake up and go on a sales call and hear an objection you've never ever heard before. The chances of that happening are pretty low. But think about this. Don't wait for the objection. Instead, dig deep. Peel back the layers of the onion to understand why you're talking in the first place. What are they hoping that your product or service is going to do for them? And then, so many of the objections will rise to the surface. So let's have some fun with this. If they say, let me think about it, and that's a classic BS line, let me think about it. What the hell does that mean, let me think about it? Well, then what you can do, if you've qualified well, if you've taken notes, you could say, well, I know we discussed, you know, how you're making this decision, okay? And you discussed, you know, you're looking at A, B, and C. And we've addressed A, B, and C, and you agreed that, you know, our product or service would do a good job with that. So help me to understand then, is there something else that you're looking at to make this decision? Because you're taking what they've given you, and you're clarifying it, you're giving it right back to them. Hey, did I miss anything? Because what we're doing is we're essentially calling them on the bluff. And that's okay. We're not accusing them of lying. And I'm not saying that they necessarily are. Sometimes they do. Most times I don't think they are. Again, they're trying to protect themselves. Because let's not also forget a key here, people, is a purchasing decision. Going with a new vendor, buying a new product, buying a new service is change. And change can be risky, disruptive, and expensive. And that could create fear in some people. And that's why they have these bluffs. That's why they have these stalls and objections. They're just trying to protect themselves. It's okay. So, here's another one. I'll give you a call next week, 2 weeks, next month, right? We've all heard that. We've all been futured, right? So, this is how I like to approach this one. Oh, hey, listen, that's great to hear. I look forward to speaking to you. Just so we're on the same page, but, you know, when you and I speak next Tuesday, what will happen? Think about that. When you and I speak next Tuesday, what will happen? Because now, if they, stutter and stammer, then something's up. Because you went for the close. You asked for the business. Oh, okay, this is great, Tim, but yeah, we got to think about it. We'll get back to you next week. Okay, yeah, listen, I'd love to talk to you next week. You know, absolutely. I look forward to it. I put it on my calendar. Great. But when we speak next Tuesday at 10, because you always want to have a specific date and time, and again, you're calling them on the bluff, what will happen? What will happen? All you're forcing them to do is to, you know, what are you thinking right now? And what will happen in that week's time? Oh, you want to think about it? Great. The classic question is, what are we thinking about? Because making a decision is not really a function of time. It's a function of information, the information that I've provided you to make the decision. Is it right for you or is it not right for you? So this is why we should talk about it while I'm here. Because if you want to wait for a week, you know, I'm going back to my office, you're in your office here. It's going to be harder for me to answer those questions for you. See, a key here, what separates a sales professional from a sales champion, being comfortable asking uncomfortable questions. And too often, I've heard salespeople say, I can't ask that. You know, what are you doing? It's too direct. It's too blunt. I'm going to seem pushy. Okay, don't ask the question, worry about seeming pushy, and then what you have is a pipeline filled of opportunities that you have to call people back because they said they'll get back to you in 2 weeks, and they never did, and you have to call them, and you're going to leave a voicemail that they're not going to pick up, and say, hey, I'm just following up, and to that. I love this one. You're too expensive. Oh, well, hey, this is my response. Hey, thanks for sharing. But it's interesting. Expensive is it's a comparison to something else. So you're comparing my price to something else that, you know, you obviously you think my price is more than something else. So I'm just curious, what are you comparing it to? Because what you want to do there is, again, now, if they haven't told you about vendors, well, we were looking at ABC. We were looking at Acme. Oh, really? Okay, very good. And if you know your business, you know your industry, we typically have a good range as to where our competition is pricing things. So then, if you know that they're going with an inferior vendor, a second-rate vendor, a vendor who does not offer what you're offering, at that moment, by saying, great, what are you comparing it to make the distinction that I'm expensive over what? Well, we're looking at Acme. Okay, let's talk about the comparison of the products. So what we just did, we took it off price, and we went back to, what are you actually comparing it to? And another way I like to go about it, if they just think it's, you know, it's out of their budget, okay, which is always one of the factors, it's out of our budget. Okay. Well, I can certainly work with the price. So based on the solution I've shown you already, what would you like me to take out of it? Would you like less of widget A, less of widget B? Would you like less consulting time? You tell me. Oh, no, Tim, we like it the way it is. We want to get the solution as you provided it. Oh, okay. That's the price. Because in the reality of it, unless you're giving it away for nothing, they're always going to come up with it. They're always going to try and angle it. They'll always say it's expensive. Oh, it's out of our budget. Okay. But now, again, because we took them through why, you say, remember when I asked you, is this something you'd like to do or something you must do? And you said, hey, Tim, this is something we must do. Our accounting software is way out of date. It's just, it's killing us. It's impacting inventory, everything. Okay. And so it's something you must do. What happens if you're delayed in making a decision? What happens if you go another 6 months with the old accounting system? Oh, we can't do that. Okay. What do you think it's costing you in impact of your inventory? So what you want to do with that is then have them articulate. And a lot of times they won't want to go down that path because they know where you're going. What does your current solution cost them? If the current solution is outdated, if the current solution is broken, it's not working, it's not effective, what is it costing them in downtime? What is it costing them in missed opportunity? And I'll guarantee you, you can easily justify any price that you're offering. Because there's an inverse relationship with price. Never forget this. If you just do a presentation and here's our product, this is what it costs. It costs $5,000. But you haven't qualified them. You don't know why the product is important to them. So you just said, here's a product. It's $5,000. Like, $5,000. They grab their chest. They're about to have a heart attack. But if you found out why they are looking at purchasing your product or service and how important it is for them, for their department, for their company, for the service they provide their customers, that relationship is inverse then. The bigger the need for your product, the smaller your price, the smaller the perception of your price. You don't lower the price. That's a weak game. We don't do that. But that same $5,000 just became $5,000 like this if you've done a really great job qualifying their why. Who's making the decision? How are they making the decision? How does it impact them? Why is it important to them? Now you've got something to go off of. You don't want to be in the sucker position of a salesman who's up against it, who heard, oh, it's just too expensive. Because they just want you to, I'm going to lose the sale. I can't lose the sale. I had a bad month last month. I got to have this. Okay, well, let me see. Let me call my manager. Let me see what I can do with my price. Weak. That's weak. They know that. They're playing poker. They got you against the ropes. You don't want to lose the deal. And listen, you lower your price, then you set a precedent. No good. You lower your price, your commission just went down. Why would you do that? Come on, step up to the plate. Qualify from the beginning. Why? It's a simple three-letter word, acronym. Who's making the decision? Always more than one person. How are they making it? What are the factors? Are they looking at anybody else? Why is it important to them? Because when all of these typical nonsensical BS objections come up, and you know they will, we're too expensive. We just addressed that. Let me think about it. Great. What are you thinking about? I know we discussed A, B, and C with your decision-making process and the factors that you're using, and we addressed them, and you said we did a great job with it. Then what's changed? What else? Oh. And then we're slowly picking off objection after objection after objection. And if they realize that you've caught them in BS, you know what? Maybe they're not right for you. So, the choice is yours. I look at professionally on a daily basis pipelines of sales professionals in all different industries. And you know it and I know it. You can have a pipeline with $1 million in it and you don't make a dime off that pipeline unless that pipeline converts into sales that are closed. That's it. So you can hope they close. You can chase after unqualified deals. You can try to overcome objections with a lack of information, with some slick little techniques, or, you know, okay, what if I do this? Is, oh, if I get you a better price, is there anything preventing us from doing business today? Blah, 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 blah. Which you've heard a million different times. Instead, go in knowing what's most important to them and how you are the ideal solution. Because the more you qualify from the beginning, you can do a great job of positioning your solution. You find out how they're doing it. You burn out the objections in the front end, and you can create the kind of deals that you want to create, that you want to close, and that you could be proud of. Ah, that's my rant on objections. Don't be a sucker to objections. Qualify from the beginning. This is the Profit Express. It's Tim Healy. Please be on the lookout for episodes just like today, Overcoming Objections by Starting with Why. They release every Wednesday. You can find them on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Podcast, iTunes. I already said that. Blah, 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 blah. And a special thank you to the people who are super important to the show, the sponsors, Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. They're great folks over there. Please visit them. Check them out. CorbettPR.com, CorbettPR.com. And until next week, ask yourself, what is that one thing extra special I can do today so I can continue to win the battle for business? It's the Profit Express.